There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And unmute the button, John. Unmute the button. Push the unmute button. No, mute button which unmutes. Anyway, and welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con Countdown. I am your host, John, and Ali is still out on the beach bathing herself in the sun of the orb thingy that comes out of the sky. Those kind of things. So joining me tonight as my co-host is the one, the only, Rox Aspasos. Rox!
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Lee and I are of the same mind. We can actually go out in the day ball.
That's interesting. It's a rare thing for those folks that that attend Dragon. Actually, it's not that rare.
No,
it's just a stereotype.
You see me
that we
and
like
I
to
have this lovely tan by the time Dragon Con occurs.
Yeah. And joining us, as would be only appropriate for having Rox on as my co-host, the I don't know, is it director, right? Track director of Alternate History, Dr. Q. Dr. Q, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on again. So how was last year's Dragon Con for you?
It was a good rookie year. I'm looking forward to the sophomore year and applying some lessons learned.
Cool. Yeah, because, of course, yeah, last year was the year that you took over Alternate History. And Rox, let me ask you, since he's on here and I'm going to put you on the spot, how is the Alternate History tracks?
It's great. Here's the thing.
Oh, it's horrible. I hated
it. No. I teamed up with a couple people from last year. One was for steampunk themes in Doctor Who and steampunk themes in Warehouse 13.
Oh, yeah. My staff were on both of those panels.
Yes, they were.
Yeah,
it was fun.
In fact, those of you that have been listening to the podcast would have heard the steampunk themes in Warehouse 13. It went up not too long ago, actually a few weeks ago. Yeah,
listen to that.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I tuned in for that one.
We covered a lot of stuff, and everybody knew quite a bit of. That's the cool thing about alt history. People is a lot of people are interested in history, and plus the fabrication of history. So, so you get a lot of interest, and also if you notice in the parade, I think alt history is now as big as the Star Wars contingent.
Oh, that's correct.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome. Now, we've gotten in a little bit here, but ahead of ourselves. But Dr. Q, what exactly is the Alternate History track and what does it cover?
We are the proponents of antique history with imagination. That's the short version. The longer version is the Alternate History is basically a kind of a portion of speculative fiction that takes the term what if and applies it to various historical past, present, future contexts. A nice way of saying it is we imagine worlds that never were but you wish it could be. The steampunk folks, which is the most visible, I would say, of our contingent at the con, tend to specialize a little bit more in the Victorian or like Weird West, those types of things. But Alternate History is a lot bigger than that. A lot of your, you know, post-apocalyptic stories, your cyberpunk, your blending into the
diesel punk,
diesel punk folks. I wouldn't say all like all, urban fantasy has its own genre, but there is some urban fantasy that kind of crosses the border into alternate history, especially when you add things like magic in a colonial fiction setting and things like that. So it's a nice big wide world, but yeah, a lot of the hyphen punks tend to occupy it more often than not, and they're awfully pretty. So we give them due attention.
Yeah. You said hyphen punks?
Yeah, I say hyphen punks. Steampunks is what folks know, right?
Right, it's and then not... you have diesel punk, and then you have the retronauts, and you know,
there's atom punk, clock punk, sandal punk. again, cyberpunk, which is what most of these split off from. You've got my new favorite kind of tongue-in-cheek joke is Rococo punks. And they also have Nerf punks, which took that lovely thing of rather than modify your Nerf gun to match your outfit, change your outfit to match your Nerf gun. And those guys were kind of doing a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek satire on the love of Nerf guns and steampunk. So Nerf punk was born. And there's so many others, I don't even want to begin to recount them all, and I could go on for a while. As a matter of fact, there's an entire panel this year dedicated to the XYZ punk effect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm still waiting for, well, you have people who dress in the Regency period. We don't have a lot, but they are there. You know, those are the Jane Austenites and stuff, you know, so. So, no, it is growing. And the thing is it is melding into other times. Like you said, the atomic punk. So you have like your 50s look.
I really want that to get more popular. I really, really do. It is like one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. The whole like 50s sci-fi vision of the future where everyone's wearing giant fishbowl helmets and big phallic-shaped rocket ships and craziness. It's insane. Like it's most folks kind of think of it as like Marvin the Martian out of Looney Tunes, but it was very, very prevalent in the 50s. And there's actually a couple of artists, one of which is going to be at Dragon Con, I think. Another which I really tried to get him in, but his name is Bradley Selznick, and he does this like Retronaut inspired like 50s sci-fi pulp computer generated illustrations, and they're just gorgeous. If you've seen on Facebook anything that has the pulp-o-miser on the back tag where they're kind of making their own album covers or event pages, that's done with Bradley's software that he's
made. Oh, cool.
And it's all kind of using his illustrations to kind of compose these fake pulp covers. Go ahead. Sorry.
Since I was sort of looking, I noticed that you have a couple cool events. The Biscuits at Dawn. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Oh, the Bowlers and Biscuits at Dawn.
Yes.
Let's see here. Where to begin? All right. Sorry, I got that reversed. Biscuits and Bowlers at Dawn, the high fashion and high tea duel. It basically, we were wanting to do tea dueling at Dragon Con. And,
Stop. Oh, you can't let that just go by and not explain what the heck a T-duel is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me backtrack there. For those not kind of immersed in a lot of the steampunk-heavy events that go on around the world, T-dueling is the official sport of steampunk. It is made famous in England at the events at a place called the Asylum, which is a fantastic event that has been running now for, I think, 5 or 6 years by some great folks. And the American Tea Dueling Society was founded by our friend Wilhelmina Frame, who's the fashion editor for Steampunk Chronicle. And she has kind of propagated tea dueling across the U.S. and has made sure everyone knows the rules, of which there are kind of similar to Calvin Ball. There's a general basic premise, but the fouls and offenses are at the discretion of the referee. And it's quite a silly sport, and it's hilarious and fun to watch. And just as much fun to participate. The general idea is you face your duelist with your biscuit in hand, which for us Americans, that is more like a cookie. You stare at your opponent intently. You dunk your biscuit for no more or nor less than 10 seconds. 11 is right out. And you then attempt to have a successful nom before the other one does. After the other one does, but before your biscuit crumbles in your hand. That's the general idea of it. It's like basically tea chicken.
That is freaking awesome.
Yes. All right, so it's kind of hilarious. It's a whole lot of fun. And if you see me around the con, generally if I'm wearing my steampunkery, I'll tend to have a holstered teacup for that very reason. It's kind of a fun sport. And last year we tried to fit it in, but because of we were trying to work with ConSuite, we were trying to work with the hotel, and it was a little bit of a square peg round hole thing. And it was our own fault. We just didn't know the right people to talk to make sure it worked in time. Mm-hmm. This year we planned well ahead. We wanted to make sure that was absolutely part of things. And then as we were kind of planning it, there were folks that wanted to do like a steampunk only kind of costume show, not necessarily fashion show. Not really a fashion show, not really a costume contest, but more like, hey, look at us, don't we look great in our outfits? Which was kind of a throwback from the old steampunk fashion shows that were done in years previous. So we thought, wouldn't it be great if everyone got to have tea rather than just the folks doing the sport and just kind of looking at them? So everyone comes in, they sit and they have tea, and while they're enjoying tea, we will have our costume duel, and which is a nice way of basically doing a costume parade with the premise of everyone takes turn, you know, they take 10 paces, turn and quote-unquote fire their chosen weapon, even if their chosen weapon is a cute glance. You know, they do what they do, and everyone takes pictures or looks and admires while they're having tea. And it'll be narrated by the comedic and exploits of Professor Elemental and Paige Smith, otherwise known as Ex Libris, who runs a site on Facebook called Costume Art. And she's a costume artist and quite good at her job. And the two of them will be running that event. And after the after everyone's had a chance to have some tea and we've seen the duelists, as it were, then the tea dueling begins. And that, in a nutshell, is what we're trying to show off to everyone with biscuits and bowlers at dawn.
Oh, cool.
That's very cool. And what day, when is that again?
Currently, and this is tentative, mind you, as all things DragonCon DragonCon related, it is tentative until the event is already over, 4 o'clock Friday in the Atlanta Ballroom at the Westin.
Oh, so you're pretty much just kicking off DragonCon right out the gate then.
I don't know. You have the Ether Ball, which is Thursday, which is Fez Day anyway.
First day Fez, absolutely. Come on down to the Aether Lounge. It'll be fun. What had happened with that is our track grew so big so quickly, we kind of dominated any restaurant we tried to invade. The kind, wonderful people at DragonCon has allowed us to use a ballroom and night early. And so what we do is we have some DJs, myself and some of my friends. We just spin some lounge music. The hotel opens up a little cash bar for us. Mix and mingle and talk to your friends before the whole con gets started. And that party's on Thursday night starting at 8:30 and ending at 10:30. So that way we can check out some of our friends that are in bands that are playing Thursday night.
Cool.
Oh, great. That's great.
That's a good idea.
Which for those of you that aren't aware, all of your house bands, a good chunk of them, play Thursday night either at the Hyatt or the Marriott. I don't remember where. But all the house bands play Thursday night while everyone's kind of checking in and getting settled in. So Wednesday kind of is the new Thursday, and Thursday is the new Friday, if you didn't get the memo.
This is true. Yes, I've been coming in on Wednesday for a number of years. I'm interested. You have an interesting panel. Is this the first year you're introducing Bart Titsu as a panel, or did you have one last year?
We had one last year. We didn't directly call it Baritsu, or I don't know how to say it.
It's Bart Titsu.
Bart Titsu. That sounds somewhat obscene, but okay, we'll go with your pronunciation. The folks that we did it last time was just simply called Self Defense with a Cane.
Oh, okay.
And so we did it last year, and it was really popular, but we needed to make sure they had plenty of setup time this time around. Because, we have to clear the panel tables, clear everything, give them a nice big open room to really kind of show off what they can do. And it's a group called the Historical Fight Study Group. And they're going to be doing a demonstration. And it actually is Bart Titsu, like what it was last year, but they're doing this year with a little bit more emphasis on the cane fighting martial art that has been made popular in amongst various steampunk circles. But it also was the martial art that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle attributed to Sherlock Holmes.
Correct. I'm actually studying that now. I took a class with Mark Donnelly up in New York.
I know Mark.
Yeah.
Mark did some presentations at Steampunk World's Fair. I saw his stuff.
Yes. He's dreamy too. If I had crazy money, I would have gone to his Irish faction fighting class, which was how to fight with a shillelagh and a Bowie knife. So, but it's a lot of fun. Bart Titsu, it was named after Barton Wright. He called it after himself. So it's a combination of jujitsu, cane fighting, savate, which is French kick fighting, and some pugilism, which is bare knuckle fist fighting. So if you have the what day is tentatively, what day is that one?
It is tentatively set for 11:30 a.m. on Saturday. Reason being is we wanted to give them the length and breadth of the parade to set up the room.
Oh, that's
the
good
way they like it. And so that way, as soon as the parade's over, come check it out. It'll be a lot of fun.
I have something afterwards, but people, check that out, because it, if it gives you an idea, it would be really nice, because a lot of people who are into or want to be into the Victorian self-defense, it's a good way of a good introduction, because there aren't a lot of class, you know, groups, and everybody who is, when they see it, they're willing to sort of start forming their own little, you know, groups. I think we might get one here in Jacksonville. I would like to work on that, so...
Well, at that same time in the big Peachtree Ballroom there at the Westin, we're also doing the inaugural airship races.
Which yeah, is explain that.
Radio-controlled airships.
Oh, wow.
As in, we need the big ballroom with the high ceiling, because they're going to literally be flying airships in heat race competitions across the ballroom.
That's 11:30.
Also 11:30 at the Peachtree. Choose your poison.
Yeah.
I know. I have a Warehouse 13 panel,
hey,
which,
you know,
which
what?
Is that, it's popular. It is solid. It is. We've been doing Warehouse for a number of years, so we actually pack a room for Lee and I. So enjoy that.
I want to go back to the. I want to go back to
running a track. I'd be all about some Warehouse 13. You have no idea.
I want to go back to the airship races. Now, do they have to do a? Do they have to go around obstacles, or is it just one end to the next and back? Or
because these people are making these airships themselves, I think that just completing a heat race of there and back again is going to be difficult enough. Because a lot of these folks, I mean, they're not like – I don't know about you, but I don't really know off the top of my head how many people are in competitive radio-controlled airship fighting. So the name of the game is really much like when you see a bunch of kids at a lake kind of playing with their RC boats. It's kind of based on that same model, in that instead of the propeller propelling the ship across water, the propeller is still carrying air over. We just fill it with a helium balloon and float it and see if they know how to steer it. And adding steering and controls and all that is done. Some folks even get it down to Arduino controls and custom making it. Some folks just mod an airplane or mod a boat and try to make it work.
Wow.
I think if this goes as well as I hope, I would like to probably reach out next year and expand it a little bit and try to get some folks in the maker and robotics track to see if they want to jump in on it too. But this is more of a test bed. We got to see if folks like it, and you guys want to do it more and do it bigger. We can probably work with those guys and see about getting them in.
Now are you doing the Clockwork Tinkers? What is that?
Okay.
Show off your items that you have made.
Yes, and that was another reason why I wanted to add a costume element with the bowlers, the biscuits and bowlers, is because the Tinker's Clockwork Carnival is we're kind of turning the old Gadgeteer Showcase into a carnival sideshow event.
Oh.
So the makers that we select to present will be presenting to an audience instead of out in kind of like their own little maker fair.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have little prepared skits demonstrating their devices that will change the world of 1890 something or other, and it'll be run very much like a carny sideshow situation, where folks will come in to see the attractions, and the makers that are being selected, also by costume art, Paige Smith, will be basically shown at you, and if you don't have a good seat up front, we'll be projecting it up on a big screen so you can see all these makers showing off their stuff. And they'll probably be available kind of after the panel, as it were, to kind of talk with whoever they want and get pictures taken close up and all that other fun stuff.
That's cool. I was in the first showcase, the first year that they had that, and I had my little steampunk bike with me. And it was crazy. It was a constant line. I was amazed on how
it is insane.
Well it is. I enjoyed the hell out of that. It was a lot of fun, of just what people were making and stuff.
And again, one of those, like, if it works really well and folks like the new format, we have definite plans to make it bigger and better. But in order to make sure that everyone this time around gets seated and can see the best makers we can find. They have allowed us to use the big giant Peachtree Ballroom, which is currently where it is right now. And I hope it stays there, but you know how things work. Currently it's set for the Peachtree Ballroom, which means everyone that wants to see it can probably get a seat and come down and see the show, which will be great.
And tentatively, that is what day?
Tentatively, that is Saturday at 5:30.
Now, we should point out you are over in the Westin still, correct?
Yes, we're still in the Westin.
Wild,
and
Wild Westin.
We are sharing space now with a number of different tracks, which is awesome. Oh, wait, I think they moved the Clockwork Carnival to the Atlanta. I'm not sure. It's either going to be the Atlanta Ballroom again, or it's going to be in the Peachtree Ballroom. Either or, check your schedules, time of the show. You never know. Anyway, but yeah, we're going to be in the Westin. We've got two. We're in a new room, by the way. I should probably mention that. So for folks just used to just walking straight on in and hanging a right, you'll end up in Urban Fantasy if you do that.
Yeah.
You'll want to keep going down and up the stairs, and we are in the Augusta Ballroom. We've taken over the entire ballroom, and we split it up into two rooms, Augusta 1 and 2, and then Augusta 3. And and Augusta 3 will be a little over 100-seater room, and we'll be using that to kind of really focus in on either academic panels or very specialized costuming or maker panels. And the focus for those is very kind of classroom-esque, more intimate setting. And then our large ballroom, which is gigantic by comparison to our old space, is where we'll just be putting all of our biggest and best stuff.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, you guys were always at capacity
for
all of
time.
Your stuff, you know. Oh, on a whole, ever since they came up with Alt History anyway, you know, you guys have always had, like, you know, waiting room, you know, waiting outside, you know, hoping that somebody will leave so somebody can else go in. And that says a lot about that type of track.
Yeah, well, I think it's because Alternate History is just so much a, you know, everyone comes at it from their own particular love and interest that there's something for everybody. Like, there are folks I know that really, you know, couldn't care less for, like, steampunk, but they absolutely love all of the, you know, the diesel stuff, the cyberpunk, the sci-fi element. And then there's all the steampunk folks that are wondering what the hell the rest of those folks are doing at their track. But everyone seems to all get along, and it all works out really well. You know, whether you're in it as a writer, you're in it as a reader, you're in it as a maker or a costumer, everyone's got something they want to do.
Now, you have a couple of guests that you're sort of highlighting. Sherry Priestley is one. Dr. A is another. You want to talk about?
I think Dr. A, I'll definitely spend a little bit of time talking about, because he is one of the most talented artists that no one in the States has ever heard of. And that's a darn shame.
I actually own several of his pieces.
But you understand, it's hard to explain it. So when I try to tell someone, this is a guy that makes small mechanical clockwork looking toys, and he does it so well. And what folks, if you want to do a quick Google search, look for a search term called Pack Gentleman, in which Dr. A took a old looking Atari, you know, Atari Pac-Man game and made it look like an 1880s wooden arcade with Pac-Man with a top hat and a monocle, and it's hilarious. He's also done, you know, various toys. He's done fabrication for all kinds of different things, but mostly like toy making and kind of fabricating and crafting is really what he does well. And along with Dr. A, there's another artist in residence that we're going to be spotlighting called Brian Kessinger. And Brian Kessinger has a incredibly popular Facebook page called Brian Kessinger's Tea Girls, in which he had initially done a series of tea-inspired steampunk women that then somehow spawned into Otto and Victoria, a woman and her domesticated octopus. And it is a wildly popular set of illustrations that he's been doing for a while now. And we're flying him over from California, and he's just so much fun to hang out with. And when he's not illustrating domesticated octopi, he is also doing story artwork for Disney. He's pretty awesome too. And the both of them we've got on a panel together. I was rather proud of the title on that one. I'm trying to remember what I called it. Automatons and Octopi, the work of Dr. A and Brian Kessinger. which is tentatively set in Augusta 1 and 2 at 11:30 on Sunday. And the, both of them are basically going to present their work. So folks that haven't been familiar with them, I had them all kind of send me some visual samples of their work. So we'll put it up on the big screen and so everyone can see what they do and kind of talk to them a little bit more in depth about their artwork, their process, how they do their what they do, and should be a lot of fun. But in addition to that, guest-wise, we've got, again, Sherry Priest, notable author. I know some folks have heard of Jim Butcher, I'm assuming, considering, you know, if they've read books recently. Normally famous for the Dresden Files, we've got him on a panel with Sherry to talk about an upcoming piece of work that he's got called the Cinder Spire series, which is going to be coming out soon, which is going to be a steampunk series written by the guy who gave us Harry Dresden. So I'm kind of curious to see how that's going to go. We've also got returning authors S.M. Sterling and Brad Lynn Weaver. We've got some really awesome guests. We've got almost the entire cast of the League of Steam coming over. And the League, for those that are unfamiliar, go to YouTube and search for the League of Steam and be entertained. They do a web series. They're on season two. Rather, they wrapped season two recently. They're getting ready to start season three, I hope. They've got a podcast. They do fabrication work, costuming work. Individually, they work on a number of movies and independent films and things you've heard of. And together, they do a lovely like vaudevillian stage show. We're going to have them as part of the Mechanical Masquerade on Sunday. And the individual members of the League of Steam are going to be peppered in and about so many panels I couldn't even begin to name them, as well as their very own Meet the League panel in which they'll be screening some of their web series to folks that attend. If you haven't seen it, by all means do. And if you have, come anyway. They're just a hoot. Let's see. Who else we got? Oh, yeah. Avenue Park. That band, you know.
Oh, love that band.
Some folks may have heard of them, and if you've heard of steampunk, you've probably heard of Avenue Park. Whereas they are a main stage show, so we cannot use them for performances for our track. However, we will be using them for both our steampunk music panel, and we also have a whole panel dedicated to the world of Avenue Park, because not only have they done music, they have done an RPG game, they've got a book, I think they've got a second book in the works. Captain Robert has done just so much branching out into various aspects of multimedia that I thought it would be right just to do a whole Avenue Park panel and let them kind of talk about everything that they do and really just kind of let folks meet the band in more of a kind of Q&A panel session type of setting. Let's see, other guests. Am I forgetting anybody? We got a lot of them. Like, we really do. We've got my friend Dave Lee from Hatton Cross Steampunk is coming along with Stephen Chapman. And I believe those are the two from Hatton Cross that are coming. And for folks that have not heard of them, I don't blame you. They're still, you know, they're still getting their feet wet here. So Hatton Cross is based out of Virginia. They are an incredible maker set, and Dave will be bringing his steampunk tank to show off for the weekend.
Wow.
And he just messaged me yesterday to say that he's figured out how to turn the tank into a convertible roadster by taking the top off. So he's considering doing a steampunk James Bond cosplay, in which if he does that, I told him I will have no end of Bond girls to compliment him. Now, so I double dog dared him. So we'll see if he can do it in time.
Is this a regular size tank, or is it sort of a personal tank?
A one-person tank.
Oh, okay. Will it be in the
parade?
It
can still do damage, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Will it be in the parade?
That's the hope. It should be able to be in the parade. There's a question of battery life and see whether or not it can make it across the new expanded route, and he's looking into that now. Because I warned him that they've added a length to the they've added some length to the route, and so he just wants to make sure that he'll be able to make it.
And my understanding too about the parade too is that the route has changed.
Has it changed or is it lengthened?
Well,
I think it's just lengthened. Like, all of the original route's still on there, but they've added more to, I don't know. I'm always asleep for the parade, so I never really pay attention to it too much.
Now, Regina was saying that there's construction going on, so they're moving it. They're moving the start of it.
Apparently a trolley is going in.
Yeah. Down that road. Yes.
Wow.
For whatever reason, there's a trolley going in down that road.
Peachtree, right?
Yeah, I have no idea why.
Wow. Okay.
I guess it'd be easier.
I'm always in the parade. I love the parade. I got my notice, so I'm in the parade. Sweet. Again this year.
Hooray!
And you get to see Lee with her bullhorn.
Ironically, she's the last person that needs one. So you were last year was your first year as director. What worked well for you, and what maybe you have to go back and rework a little bit?
What worked well last year that we're kind of carrying over were a lot of surprises, actually. Oddly enough, the panels that are continuing, with very few exception, were panels that we thought we would just add onto the track on a whim because no one suggested them, but we thought, hey, people should like this. We're wondering why no one suggested we do it, so we'll just put it on the track as an afterthought. And then it ended up just getting so much attention that we just underestimated the appeal. Like some examples of that would be we kind of offhandedly threw in a Jack the Ripper panel, and it got so large that we commandeered the Wheaton track room to accommodate everybody last year. So this year we're giving it it's the big room treatment and making sure it's got all the attention we'd like it to get. Last year what worked really well, I mean, just generally speaking, we ran it incredibly, incredibly well, and I really enjoyed our first year. As far as like things that didn't work so well, is we kind of worked ourselves incredibly ragged because at varying points across the weekend we were doing, and I really am not kidding, at one point we did four different panels at once between the whole lot of our staff.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah, you know, because when you had a lot of people who were, you know, crossing over, like we had two of your people.
That is exactly
over
right.
Over X track and one over at Brit track. So,
between folks crossing over to other tracks and then the tracks we were doing, and we would do a main event room and give people two different versions of other alternatives in our two other track rooms. We were having three events going on while two folks were off somewhere else, and we were driving ourselves crazy by trying to do too much. And everyone appreciated it, and it was great, but our team were really only seven people. So seven people trying to entertain 7,000 was very difficult. You know, I'm just kind of throwing a random number out there. I know there's a huge chunk of the con that come through our doors, and there's no way I could have counted it all. It would have been impossible. But some of the things that I think we just didn't work as well, other than just getting run ragged, is just we didn't really, last year what we tried to do was we just kind of left it as open suggestion forum on our social media, which I learned this year not to really put that much faith in. No offense to everyone that's on our boards. I absolutely love all of our fans that are engaged on Facebook, but I learned through trial and error that the engaged people on Facebook are only a small portion of the rest of everyone else that are going to be there over the weekend. And so those ones that were suggesting the panels I put in the small room were the ones that kept getting blown out the doors. And I'd have to like constantly switch rooms and do the juggle. Whereas this time around, we did an open call submission, but we started doing a lot more like guided entries, merging ideas together, putting them all together, and just kind of making that decision very proactively of whether or not they'd get the big room or the slightly smaller room, and really just kind of guiding and tailoring each and every panel a lot more so than we did last year.
Now, by the way, while he was talking, Dr. Q also sent me over a picture of the battle carriage. Well, link to it.
Yep.
That is freaking awesome, dude.
In it, though?
Insane. It's amazing.
Yep. It's pretty cool.
And it moves on its own?
Yeah, it moves on its own.
Oh, wow, that is really cool. That is somebody.
I want one.
That is somebody with a lot of talent and time on their hands. Wow.
Well, it's a group effort. Dave's father helped him do a whole lot of the mechanics of it and getting it to be functional. He and his father did a lot of the like hands-on crafting fabrication. His wife helped out with a lot of the detailing and distressing. And I mean, it's great to hear him talk about how they do their craft. It's a lot of fun. And Dave will be on a bunch of different panels, kind of all throughout.
And that is the cool thing about steampunk, especially if you have like a really good group that you can actually, unlike other, you know, people who like costuming and stuff, Sometimes it's a really big group effort type of deal. It's like, oh, hey, I know how to, like you said, distress something, or I know how to weld, or I know how to, you know, build stuff. So everybody will be willing to pool their resources together, you know, so you can actually swap off, you know, like, I know how to sew. Well, I don't know how to sew. Can you do this? You know, and it's a really open kind of society, you know, group, you know, where people are willing to share their ideas too. And it's kind of cool because you get a lot of people when you meet up with somebody who made a really cool gun or something, and everyone's willing to talk about what they've done. And that is the cool thing about steampunk in general, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What drew me into it initially was just the great community that's there. And whereas my our organization that I'm a part of, apart from Dragon Con.
And what is that called?
The Artifice Club.
Okay. Where can they find that?
You can find it at theartificeclub.com or just artificeclub.com. I actually got both of those domains for your convenience.
Oh, lucky you. Lucky you.
So, yeah, we started off as this like ragtag group of folks that liked throwing steampunk parties, and it's become this loose coalition of artists, makers, fabricators, groups, and costumers that all just kind of keep in touch with each other and make sure we're all kind of having each other's backs and supporting each other for what we're doing and helping cross promote and produce and, you know, consult. And it got to the point where we launched a Kickstarter to see about kind of filing as a nonprofit company. And we asked for like $3,500 to cover filing fees, some like kind of entrance swag to go, hey, look at us, we're a nonprofit. And instead we raised $12,000 and really just kind of blew the lid off of it.
That's pretty cool.
So, which is great, and I'd like to thank like DragonCon in general. I mean, the DragonCon Media Relations folks like helped cross promote, and they've been just absolutely wonderful to work with. And the entire track staff are all members of the Artifice Club. Actually, over half of us are board members of this new organization. So we really like it. It's part of our mission statement to kind of promote all kind of vintage retro art and artists everywhere, and kind of working with DragonCon is really kind of part and parcel to putting our money where our mouth is, and we're really loving being part of it. So cool. I'm glad they let us like help out and make the place fun.
Cool.
So let me ask you, I know that you're very busy in your track, obviously, because I mean, you're running multiple tracks at a time, but if you could get away this year outside of your track stuff, what would you like to see, or who would you like to see?
Well, I have two planned getaways.
Okay.
They are on my schedule, and my team knows to leave me alone. And they're both produced and promoted by the lovely and talented Tallulah Love. One of them is the Pinups by the Pool Party.
Ooh.
Which is kind of like a tiki, and there's going to be mermaid competition, and a lot of 50s and go-go stuff, and like that's kind of right up my alley. Like when I'm not doing steampunk stuff, I go swing dancing and hang out with greasers and rockabilly kids. So it's like that's really my scene, and I'm all about going to hang out with a bunch of folks that are going to be dancing, having a good time by the pool.
That's at the Hilton, correct?
Hold on one second. Tallulah, darling, is that at the Hilton?
It's at the Sheraton.
Sheraton?
Oh, okay.
On Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Look at that. I take direction well. And also the Dragon Con Burlesque Glamour Geek Review is – hold on a second. My Farnsworth was going off, which is my ringtone. All right. So, the Glamour Geek Review is the Dragon Con's burlesque show, also produced by Tallulah Love, and I'll be going attending that at Saturday at midnight. Did that get moved, or is that still at the Hyatt?
As far as I know –
all right, as far as we know, it's still at the Hyatt, but all things are tentative until it's over. The Dragon Con Burlesque and the Pinups by the Pool are definitely two things I'm going to go see. As far as the rest of the guests that are attending, I kind of cheated, and two of the ones I really wanted to go meet were David Warner and Malcolm McDowell. Mm. So rather than leave, we made a time after time reunion panel, and we're having them come to our track and talk about them being H.G. Wells and Jack the Ripper. So shameless plug there. That was fun. So I'm looking forward to that a lot because Malcolm McDowell seems like a really cool cat. Really, generally speaking, if I'm going to get away for anything else, it'll probably be like the social functions, like the 50th anniversary ball that the Brit Track folks are doing. I definitely want to try to check that out if I can be parted away for a third thing away from my track rooms. Some sort of Doctor Who thing otherwise. I'm a big fan of Doctor Who, Warehouse 13, those types of I guess, stuff outside of steampunk. I'll definitely be all about going to go see those things. Let's see. I guess that kind of covers it.
Now, I asked you last year what three guests you would like to have, but this year I thought I'd ask you a different question. And it's not the same question I've been asking the other folks. What I'm going to ask you is, if you could go back in time and bring three devices, and bring it back to any time you want, three devices from present day to show to someone, say, in the Victorian age or what have you, and then, you know, quickly whisk it away to see what they came about from it, what three devices or items from present day would you like to see go back in time?
Well, air conditioning for one. Absolutely. smartphone for another. Assuming that the technology would actually work back there, which of course it wouldn't, but in this theoretical thing where I could just show them magical device of computer in the phone, that would be fantastic. See what they do with that. That would be entertaining. Let's see. And, I would probably say something along the lines of, sorry, I do DJ work anyway, so like showing them like either a stereo or what I would do, since I tend to carry everything kind of on me, is I have a little Bluetooth, really high performance Bluetooth speakers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you would go in, you go, this is my air conditioned time machine and air conditioning, smartphone, network. And networked into this speaker that produces music. Mwahaha. Basque natives and despair. And then off I go back to present day. but that would probably be it. Definitely just like advances in home entertainment. And, you know, again, I can't stress this enough, air conditioning, for the love of God. that's why everyone asks me, like, I go on other interviews for steampunk things. And, like, if you could live in any era, where would you live? I'm like, present day. I love me the internet and air conditioning. Can't beat it.
Nice.
Yeah, wearing linen will only go so far. Yeah, and cooling yourself off.
Wool doesn't breathe. And the thing that no one tells you is if you actually went back in time, it would stink to high heaven.
Well, they had linens.
Hey, that's what you could bring back is deodorant.
Deodorant, yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Leave some Dove men's care right there. Here you go, gentlemen. Enjoy.
Well, I think the thing is the clothes are so thick, it just, you know, by the time the smell, you know, you wore it at least for a week, that finally the smell, you know, breaks through on the thickness of the clothes. It's how that works. So basically you're wearing Bedouin clothes. You know, you're keeping all that inside, so.
Lovely imagery. Yes, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So where can people find you again, both on the interwebs and in Dragon Con world?
In Dragon Con world, they can go either right off the main page to go take a look at the what to do in fan tracks, or you can go directly to alternatehistory.dragoncon.org.
And that's all spelled out, right? Not alt?
Nope, alternate. Okay. It is alternatehistory.dragoncon.org. I don't mean to brag, but we have a gorgeous-looking track website. Can't beat it.
Oh, my gosh, it is great. It's amazing.
Thank you very much. My good friend Scott Banks worked awfully hard on making it look gorgeous.
And the cool thing is, just so people will know, he really did a nice combination, like we were talking about, of Victorian. There's some, I noticed some retro looks, you know, for the mid-century type stuff. So it's a good melding of different factions.
It's awfully, awfully proud of it. I tell everyone to go there. You could also find me and a lot of our ragtag crew at theartificeclub.com. Me personally, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and all over the place. You really can't miss me. If you go to our Alternate History Facebook group, we also have an Alternate History Facebook fan page, and we can also be found at Decon Alt History on Twitter. I believe that covers all of that. Yes, good. One thing, though, that I probably meant to mention earlier is the thing that I forgot to mention, in addition to all the hyphen punks and time periods and all that, I really wanted to say that I wanted to give a shout out to Pulp Fiction if I can. Like, the whole neo-pulp and all your current pulp writers doing stuff right now are all taking what they were doing now and basing it on, like, the old 50s stuff. And so a lot of your Pulp Fiction writers that are attending pros at Dragon Con are going to be on our track as well. So for folks that don't really care for the steampunk stuff but love that pulpy, noir-y, kind of fun era of time, by all means, don't ignore our track at all. Come on by. We got some cool panels.
And if you can't make to one of their panels, a lot of the authors will do their own reading. So there's a lot of time that you guys could, you know, people could meet up with, you know, authors and stuff throughout the convention. So
right,
keep that in mind.
That's something we often forget to mention, too, is that there is a whole reading thing that goes on a track. I don't know if it's an actual track or not, but there are a series of rooms that actually the authors go and do readings in. I know that our friend Richard Walls does a reading there at Dragon Con as well. So that's another place. And just to clarify too, because we kind of went, you know, alternate history gets, you know, kind of pigeonholed as steampunk or now hashpunk, which is something I just learned. But it really is about, it's not just about that. It's about just, you know, time travel, different, melding different eras and things like that together. Correct?
Yes.
Oh, correct. Absolutely.
Okay.
The things that folks kind of forget though are things like, you know, like cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is right in our wheelhouse. You know, it derives of what if things were different in the 80s and how would that look in 2024? You know, it's still alternate history, even though you're setting your story in the future, your derivation point's in the past. So, like, that's stuff I like to remind folks. That's still in our wheelhouse, guys. Mm-hmm. We cover that.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. So, Dr. Q, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it, as always.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Check out all their great stuff. Be sure to hit alternatehistory.dragoncon.org. I think .com winds you there, up there too, anyway. The Artifice Club, right? It's artificeclub.com and theartificeclub.com?
Yep. Yep. Right. That's us. And we're doing our next big event as the Artifice Club is with Dragon Con. The Mechanical Masquerade, the Retropolis, our big track party. It'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, did you mention that? When's that?
I missed mentioning that. It's a Sunday night at 8:30 in the Peachtree Ballroom.
Tentatively.
It will be, tentatively as per usual. We'll have Unwoman. We're going to have Professor Elemental. We're going to have the League of Steam. And there may be a surprise band added to the roster. We'll see. We will feature, it's the Mechanical Masquerade last year was a whole lot of fun. This year we're going to make it even bigger and even better. It is a masked ball, which masks are suggested. They're not required. Costumes are suggested, but not required. Come as you are. It is, you know, come on with your badge. You're in. No problem.
I went to it last year. It was a lot of fun.
Yep. We throw one hell of a party.
Yes.
And that's really, even though Monday does exist in Dragon Con world, that really is sort of the end of Dragon Con Sunday night.
Sunday night is the big hoorah at the end. And our Monday, we're having a decompression panel of which it'll feature the Steam Geeks podcast and our own track podcasting team of myself, John Strangeway, otherwise known as Steampunk Boba Fett, our friend CD and Patrick. We do the Ratchet Retrocast. Mm-hmm. And so the Ratchet Retrocast and Steam Geeks on Monday for the last 3 hours of the con are going to sit down and just kind of decompress, sober up, and go over the whole show.
Since you mentioned it, where can they find that podcast?
Steam Geeks podcast can be found on the League of Steam's website. Any search for the League of Steam or Steam Geeks will get you there.
Okay.
The Ratchet Retrocast is on iTunes and Stitcher, and it's hosted by the Earth Station One Network. So if you go to the ESO network, you'll be able to find the show there as well.
Sweet. All right, cool.
And actually, we're going to be having a DragonCon special of our own coming up soon, so that should be fun.
Fantastic. So everyone go check that out as well. So until next time, for Dr. Q and Rox. Oh, by the way, Rox, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
You're an awesome co-host. I'm getting rid of Lee and taking you on instead.
All right.
Oh, no, Lee, I'm joking. Don't yell at me, because she will yell.
He's not joking. He had the whole plan in place before he hit record, Lee.
No. I sent her on holiday, you know. That's
holiday, in quotes. You never want to...
You edit that out in post. It's fine.
You never want to take travel advice from Rox, because you never know where you'll wind up. All right, so until next time, this is John for Dr. Q and Rox saying until next time, peace. Somebody has to say bye for me.
Oh, bye.
Okay. See you later.
Good, because otherwise I never know when to end the podcast.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.